Morning. It's Wednesday, June 10th, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers. War on the workers.
And cooperation.
War on the workers.
When they call you a team.
War on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. They can lock us out. It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on Social Security. Now, thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Okay, time we started calling the shots. That was Ann Feeney. She starts off every edition of the Brain Labor Report with that song, It's a War on the Workers. That's right. Brain Labor Report comes to you every Monday through Friday. We're a half-hour show out of KSKQ. That's our low-power community radio station here in Ashland, Oregon, 94.9 FM. By the way, this is Wes Brain. I am host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Glad to be with you this 10th of June. My gosh. Here comes the summer. There goes the summer. Boy, wasn't that a nice summer. I'm telling you, it goes quickly. The older you get, the quicker it goes. By gosh, if you're young and don't believe me, just wait. Okay, we are looking forward to a good show today. Kristen Breifus will be our guest. We're expecting her to call us a little later on in the show, a few minutes from now. We'll be talking about some of the work she's involved in the state of Washington and certainly sweat-free communities work. That's right. How to make your community a procurement of no sweatshop involved in the making of uniforms that state employees and government employees at the local level might be wearing. This is an exciting movement, and we'll be talking to Kristen about that and about some of the other work she's been involved in. Okay, always near the top, of our half-hour show. We're glad to bring you the Workers Independent News. 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. Folks, this is news that you don't hear on your mainstream media. They want to tell us, you know, how good corporations are all the time. This is really about news that ordinary working people can use. A real highlight of the Brain Labor Report is to bring you the Workers Independent News. So for Wednesday, June 10th, 2009, here's the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. On Tuesday, GM began sending out notices to salaried workers outlining reductions in benefits they can expect once they retire. According to a memo sent to workers by CEO Fritz Henderson, the changes will impact current salaried workers who will be retiring in the future. Dental, vision, and extended care coverage will be eliminated from the retiree health care plan for non-Medicare retirees. GM is also mailing out more early retirement offers to workers as the company seeks to slim its workforce. Workers have until July 24th to take the option, which for some workers includes a payout of up to $115,000 and a $25,000 vehicle voucher. This is the company's fourth buyout offer since 2006, and the last round from earlier this year saw 7,600 workers taking the offer. GM announced yesterday it would be cutting 887 jobs at a Wentzville, Missouri plant. The cuts will take place on August 10th and cut the plant's workforce in half. The job cuts will come after a plan to idle the plant starting this week until July 27th. New York State employee unions have reached a compromise with New York Governor David Paterson that could save the state $30 billion over 30 years. Under the compromise, future employees will contribute 3% of salaries to their pensions for the lifetime of their careers and will additionally raise the retirement age from 55 to 62. Currently, workers only contribute to pensions for the first 10 years of their careers. Workers will now need to wait 10 years to be vested in the state's pension plan, instead of the current 5 years. The state will also offer 4,500 workers buyouts of $20,000 and end a plan to cut 8,700 jobs. The deal doesn't cover state workers in New York City, police officers, teachers, or firefighters. In Los Angeles on Tuesday morning, city workers protested in front of City Hall, expressing their outrage at proposed layoffs. According to a statement issued by a coalition of unions representing 22,000 city workers, the city council was being asked to abandon a short-sighted plan that would devastate city services. The council is seeking to initiate every other Friday unpaid furloughs, set to start on July 1st. Overall, there could be 26 furlough days and 1,600 job cuts. But according to the city, on Monday, 1,200 of those jobs being targeted are already vacant. Los Angeles is facing a $529 million budget shortfall.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Okay, it is, it's about time to play that song. What song should we play today? I haven't even decided yet. Okay, Ann Feeney starts off every edition of the Brain Labor Report with War on the Workers, but she sings a lot of songs. And, do you know what a scab is? Do you know what a scab is? Do you know that term? Have you heard about it? It's a medical term. It has to do with healing. On a picket line, it has nothing to do with healing. Scabs are people who steal your neighbors who might steal your job. Ann Feeney has a song about that. Cut number 8 on Look to the Left. I'm going to cue it up. We're going to play it. And then we're going to see if we can get our guest on the phone while this song is playing. So, do you know what a scab is? Listen to Ann Feeney sing about it here. And, well, that's the name of the song, Scab. Okay, here we go.
There's an alien life form been creeping around my job site. Oh, they look almost human, but something about them ain't right. Right over a picket
to a picket sign. They're called scabs. Scabs. The lowest life form spawned in nature's lab. They got no brains. They got no heart. Scabs are tearing our communities apart. They might be reptilian. The blood flows like ice in their veins. Or extraterrestrial recyclers that use shit for brains. Now what does it mean to have the right to strike when companies do anything they like using scabs? Scabs. The lowest form of life found in nature's lab. They got no brains. They got no heart. Scabs are tearing our communities apart. Now before we had our unions, let me tell you, conditions were bad. Understaffed, overworked, underpaid, till we finally got mad. But then when we walked out to protect our rights, they just gave away our jobs to those parasites, to those scabs. Scabs. The lowest form of life found in nature's lab. They got no brains, they got no heart. Are tearing our communities apart. I could puke watching co-workers turned into weasels and traitors. They must be pod people hatched by those corporate raiders and insider traders. You know our labor laws are crazy. They're so damn two-faced. They say I haven't been fired, just permanently replaced by form of life found in nature's lab. They got no brains, they got no heart. Scabs are tearing our communities apart. Oh, listen to your mama, this isn't idle gab. You're pretty damn low on the food chain when you think you gotta grab your striking neighbor's job. I guess you gotta be a
okay, there you have it. Scab, that's that is Ann Feeney, and by gosh, if you didn't know, now you should. What is a scab? Well, they're your friends and your neighbors who might be stealing your job. And thanks, Ann Feeney, for that. I think we were successful this morning. Kristen, can you hear us this morning?
I can, yes.
Well, we hear you loud and clear. Your cell phone is working great. We're talking to Kristen Bifus. She is up in the state of Washington, up in Seattle, I believe. Is that correct,
Kristen? It is. It's true.
Okay. Is it raining up there? It always rains in the Evergreen State.
It has been gorgeous for the last couple of weeks. It's been dry and hot and beautiful.
Okay, we've got all the rain down here. Okay, got that figured out. For our listeners, well, let me introduce it this way. I met Kristen last summer in Philadelphia. Had the opportunity of going back to a national gathering, if you will, convergence of sweat-free communities, and brought together from all around the country people who were working to make their community sweat-free. That's we'll ask Kristen a little bit about that. That's the introduction. First trip to Philadelphia, absolutely a marvelous trip. It was great meeting you there. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. Well, first of all, I absolutely agree with you. It was a wonderful opportunity that brought together activists from all over the country who are working in different ways on enabling worker rights and fair labor practices, both in the U.S. and internationally. And I came to the convergence I had worked for a number of years outside of the country on the Thailand-Burma border, working with refugees, because as probably as many folks have been hearing, Burma has been under military rule for many years, and so there are literally millions of refugees that are moving, that are displaced in their own country as well as in the surrounding countries. And then actually just recently the U.S. has been resettling large amounts of people from the border, and they're actually all over the U.S., including Oregon and Washington. And so my interest, having worked on the border and seeing what happens when workers come over and they don't have documentation and are exploited by factories in these border towns, and they're making clothes mostly for Western markets. And so having seen the enormous efforts and sacrifices that workers go through, risking their lives, their livelihoods, I was interested in what I could do on influencing the demand side, which is us in the developing and the developed world. So that, and for a number of other reasons, I came back to the U.S. about a year ago and was interested in what work was being done on organizing around these issues. And that is how I came to Sweat Free Communities.
Wow. Well, what an introduction. And I want to I want to ask you about that. By the way, that's primary research. You know, a lot of people know what they know by reading about it. And Kristen, you learned about it by going overseas and seeing things firsthand. Back up for just a minute for our listeners and for Jason and myself, too. Where did this come from? Did you grow up in an activist family? What is it that drove you into the work that you do? Or do you know?
I definitely have different political views than my family, so I think it probably started off as more of an antagonism than an activism.
Makes Thanksgiving dinner very interesting with the family sometimes, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There's a lot of realms of conversation topics that we don't touch on. But I think I've always been curious and interested in travel and learning about other cultures. I studied anthropology and social science and was always very interested in learning about the cultural side. And I think when you start learning and meeting people and getting to know them and realizing some of the challenges they face and that you might have the power to influence those challenges, then I think that's where you start questioning how we're all so interconnected here on this planet, and how, you know, a purchase I make could benefit someone. It could also be locking them into, you know, a life of indentured work, and how powerful we all are. So I think I was really just in that questioning, and then seeing what I could do just in a very small way, and then connecting to larger movements, because I think I'm a pretty kind of communal person, really get a lot of energy from, you know, Wes, like our meeting just a couple of weeks ago of our Northwest Coalition, and how energizing that is to hear about the work everybody's doing, and how that sort of galvanized me to come back here and continue on with the work here that we're doing.
Kristen Bifus, that is such great work. I think I'm going to refer to you as an ambassador for the United States. Dick Cheney's not the only one out there who's doing this international work. And, in fact, it is people like you who go to countries and do some of this humanitarian work. Oh, my gosh, if it wasn't for you. If it was the Dick Cheney's running the world, it'd be all over with, that's for sure. I want to ask you a little more about certainly, I was up in Portland, met with you and some other activists around the Northwest on our Sweat Free Communities work that we're doing. Super meeting. It was so great. It really was. I want to talk to you about the state of Washington and what is it that's going on up there. Maybe ask you to look in your crystal ball. What is possible? And tell us a little bit about your work up in Seattle, Washington, please.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of exciting activism happening here. We are moving forward on a sweat-free purchasing policy for the city of Seattle. And I should actually back up and say the city of Olympia has already passed such a policy. They first passed a resolution, and then they passed an ordinance not unlike what you all are doing down in Ashland. And so they are sort of the forerunners. And I should actually, I can even take a step further back, is actually we're sort of on the heels of the student movement and the Student Labor Action Project and the University of Washington worked tirelessly to pass a designated supplier program, which ensures that, or at least puts in place a policy where the University of Washington, anything that is made with the University of Washington logo has to be made by companies that assure and have provisions in place for watchdogging the labor practices of factories where they're made. And that created the Workers' Rights Consortium. So we very much are taking their lead in wanting a similar policy for our city and for cities and state here.
Very, very good. In fact, for folks who don't know, you mentioned SLAP, Student Labor Action Project. That is an arm of Jobs with Justice, and specifically for younger folks, and in this case, in fact, many cases around the country, people are going to colleges and universities, and one of the real strong areas of the sweat-free movement is exactly, I know what you're talking about there, Kristen. It's about people saying, wait a minute, I'm going to this school. I'm paying a lot of money besides the taxes that are going here. Why do we have our logos and being made in sweatshops? That is an important part of this movement that you're pointing out there. Tell us a little bit more, please, if you will, about the sweat-free activism up there in Washington State.
Sure. So then we've been working on developing our coalition, much as you all have been doing in Oregon, and getting different faith-based groups and unions and social justice groups. And we're actually housed under the Washington Fair Trade Coalition, similar to the Oregon Fair Trade Coalition in Oregon. Which is exciting because it contributes to their work in general on international trade policy. And so we've been looking for our champion in city council. And there's been a number of council members who are interested. But with our most recent report, Subsidizing Sweatshops 2, that we released, that directly linked a few companies that Seattle purchases from with factories, specifically in Latin America, that have a number of different abuses, that sort of got their interest. And so we're hoping to be meeting with them soon and moving that policy forward. And then we have an exciting development sort of just yesterday. City of Tacoma, a few activists there are very interested in having a policy for their city. So we see that as the newest fledgling campaign. And then there has also been some interest in Spokane, which would be a new campaign for us, first one on the east side. And I think a lot of the activism tends to focus on the western part of the state. So we really want to make this to be sort of more far-reaching and statewide. And then we are also working on the state level, which is difficult, as you all know, with the budgetary crisis that our states are in right now. However, there is a lot of interest, and we're focusing on education. And again, we have a champion in the House, in the Labor and Commerce Committee. There is a legislator there who's very interested, and we've had one work session to introduce people to the issue, and so it's definitely on their docket for the next year to be talking about it. And so we're kind of plugging away slowly but surely and developing our coalition and putting political pressure on our legislators where appropriate.
This is an exciting movement for folks who haven't heard about it before. And to tell you where we're at right now, this is a Brain Labor Report. We're speaking with Kristen Bifus. She's our guest. She's on the phone. Her cell phone's working fine this morning up in Seattle, Washington. We're talking about the Sweat-Free Communities movement and what's being done up in Washington to create a sweat-free community. one of the most striking things, I think, when people really hear it, some people don't want to know, by the way. They just don't want to hear the bad news. But one of the striking things, Kristen, is this, that I don't know what you're wearing right now, where you are listening to this, but, well, I will bet that what you're wearing was made in a sweatshop. Not me. I don't support sweatshops. As a matter of fact, you probably do. And the truth of the matter is most of the garments that are sold in the United States of America, whether they be you or me at Sears or the local store, or they be our governments purchasing for the uniforms that people wear in police and fire and other city departments. Unfortunately, Kristen, most all of it was made in sweatshops. I learned from sweat-free communities that back in the 80s, by gosh, we had a million and a half garment workers in the United States of America, which, by the way, did not mean that they were necessarily not in sweatshops. Many of the sweatshops are in this country. But where I'm going with this is the fact that, and this is not surprising to people who are listening to this, is we have seen, the industrial base fall apart in the United States, part of the economic collapse, and a whole nother topic about international trade agreements. But I want to say and bring this point out, what do we have now? A couple hundred thousand people working in the garment industry in the United States. What has driven this has been this this drive for lower and lower wages, cheaper and cheaper police uniforms, and the clothes that you and I wear, too. What about that term, race to the bottom? Am I describing it right, would you speak? And, we ought to look at the clock here, too. It goes quickly. We got about 3.5 minutes or less. Tell us a little bit about that idea I just brought up, this race to the bottom and where our garments are made. Could you speak to it, please?
Yeah, absolutely. And everything you said, I think, has been sort of this eye-opener for all of us. And even as we're going in and presenting at different, you know, unions and labor councils, people are really surprised that we still have sweatshops in this country and that we're all implicated. Because I think, as you say, like, we all have a responsibility here and how difficult it is to actually find out information about where your clothes are made. So even the most conscious person, you don't really have choices. I mean, unless you're making your own clothes. And even then, you know, where was the fabric woven? It brings so many questions up, and that's why we're sort of desperate for a mechanism to be able to stop this turn of events, because advertising encourages consumerism. We're currently in a recession, so people have less money, but they still want to be able to purchase the same, you know, wardrobe they've had, and so they seek out lower prices. But as you said, there's a cost somewhere. So if the cost is on the consumer end, the cost is on the production end, meaning people are suffering for us to have more clothes than we probably need. And I think it is around education. It's around talking about it, and it's around no one having the higher ground here. We all are part of the problem, the challenge, and so we all need to be part of the solution and asking questions and demanding more accountability from our companies and letting them know when we're not happy, not being just happy with the status quo, and letting our politicians know we're not happy, because we do have a lot of power as consumers, as voters, as taxpayers.
Wow, there's a take-home message for you right there. Where we spend our money is so important. Kristen, this is so educational, I think, for people who don't know and understand it. We absolutely have a campaign to change the way garments are made on planet Earth. And that's not an overstatement. And there's some shining lights. Some of them are people. Some of them are the campaigns that are taking place throughout the Northwest. Look at this. My gosh, it's almost time to say goodbye. I want to thank you for being our guest, give you encouragement to keep up the good work. By the way, we are paying attention in Ashland, Oregon. We have our sweat-free campaign down here, and what you do up there is very important to us. Kristen, thanks for being our guest this morning on the Brain Labor Report.
This was fabulous. Thanks so much, Wes.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to say goodbye. And tomorrow, we don't have a guest lined up yet, but Jason is going to, he's going to figure out something. He told me he doesn't know what it is, but he'll have it figured out for you tomorrow. With that, we'll say goodbye. Folks, be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.